2020 is only 3 days away. Seems like it just became 2019. But in 3 days, it'll be the start of a new year. And that can be really exciting. It's a clean slate. Everything's there. We can just start fresh. Or it could be a time of anxiety when we start to think, 2020, what will it bring? We're not sure what might happen. It could bring a number of things. For some, it could bring financial problems. It could bring a job loss. Or it might, others might encounter the loss of a loved one. Or running into medical issues. Or family struggles. The car might break down. The roof might leak and need a new roof. The hot water tank might pack in. And you're all saying, why did we come to church today? I'm not trying to be filled with gloom and doom here, for everything will not be negative in 2020, I am sure. For some, there might be a wedding or a graduation or a family of a family member or a friend. There could be a year where you move into a new home. Could be a time where you get a new job, maybe a promotion, a raise. You might get a new car. You might go on that nice holiday that you've been dreaming of. But there are many different things that are going to happen over the next 12 months. Some of those things we might be able to predict, but most of them will come without warning. They're just going to come. It's just going to happen. We'll have no physical control over them. The big thing is not that they're going to happen, is how are we going to deal with them when they happen? Will we blame God for our circumstances when we're finding it tough to make ends meet? Will we blow up and alienate ourselves from family and friends when there's turmoil and stress? When we get the big promotion or a raise, will we become puffed up and arrogant and go, well, I'm above you folks? So how are we going to deal with the things that come in 2020? To deal with the things to come in a proper way, we need to first of all be committed. As many of you know, that Kathy and I raced four-wheel drives before we became Christians, and do you know, I was committed to racing four-wheel drives. I read 4x4 magazines. I hung out with others who raced and talked about four-wheel drives. We talked about what were the best tires for racing. We talked about how what was the best way to modify the Jeep so you could go the tightest corners, so you could go lock to lock with your steering wheel the fastest way. We talked about many different things. I was committed, all in, to racing. When racing, the unexpected things came, though. Finances were tight from time to time, but that didn't matter because I was resolved to race. So I always found the finances to repair the Jeep or to do whatever we needed to do, to buy a new trailer or whatever. The weather could change at a moment's notice, which made it quite different on the track. It could all of a sudden be greasy and slimy instead of dry and dusty. And in the middle of the pouring rain, I would change all four tires just to make a few split seconds faster because I was committed to racing. Then there were those hours that spent repairing the breakdowns. Sometimes spent most of the night repairing the vehicle so it would race the next day. Was all because I was committed to racing. Now, we were able to win from time to time. We brought home 42 trophies between the two of us. Actually, it was kind of interesting. It was 21 trophies each. So we both had done well in racing. But it was all because of that commitment. We are able to deal with the challenges and the victories in racing because we are committed to racing and we are committed to winning. And if we are going to deal with the things to come this year, the things we need that are going to come in 2020, we need to be committed. We need to be committed to God and committed to His plan, His will for our lives. In Psalm 37, verse 5, we read these words, "Commit your ways to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this." Commit is a verb, an action, which has the meaning of dedicating or trusting entirely in a specific person, cause, or activity. It's committing, like I'm totally focused on that one thing. Just as we were focused on racing, or I was more than Kathy, focused, totally committed on racing, we need to be totally focused, totally committed on Jesus. The writer is saying we need to trust our ways, our conduct, and how we handle things to the Lord, to put Him in charge of all our ways. Commit our ways, our lives to Jesus is to trust Him with the outcome. It's easy to say, you know, I just trust Jesus, I'll commit myself to the Lord. But it's a different thing to say, oh, I trust Him for the outcome when the struggles are tough, when there's challenges. But that's what being committed is. We talked about how we cannot predict what will happen in 2020. But as we commit, all we do, say, and think throughout the year, we are trusting Jesus will bring about the outcome which will be best for us, which will be best for His plan, for His kingdom. James chapter 4, verses 13 to 15 exhorts, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money, why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." We must be committed to pressing on toward the goal which Jesus has set out for us, looking to Him for His plan for our lives. If we are in the valley or on the mountain peaks, our focus, our commitment must be the same. It must be to Jesus and His plan. No matter whether things are going really well or we're going through really challenging times, we need to be committed to Him. Because you see, if we're not committed to Jesus while we're on the mountain peaks, when things are going well, the finances are going good, the health is going good, everything is really good, if we're not committed to Him, there's a good chance that when we get on top of that mountain peak and we're having all those victories, pride will start to creep into our lives. And I'll say, oh, it's the hard work I'm doing. It's all that I've done. I've put in this. I. We need to be committed to Jesus and to His plan. On the other hand, when we're going through the valley and when there's challenges and struggles and things aren't going the way we would like them to go, and if we're not committed to Jesus through those times, those are the times that become so overwhelming. And in fact, we start to feel like we're in it all by ourselves. And what's the use? As we commit our ways to Jesus, we don't lean on our own understanding, but we trust in all things, that he will guide us. He will guide our conduct. He will guide everything we do. He will guide our ways for his glory and for his name's sake, for his kingdom. You know, the truth is, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we do know who holds tomorrow. Jesus holds tomorrow. And David knew that. David wrote, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." So before we were born, God saw us and he laid out every day in a book, as it were. And he knows every day and everything that we go through. Why does he know that? Because he holds them in his hands. He has it all in his control. "And if the Lord has known our days before we were born, would it not be wise to commit our ways to his path and direction and leading?" I don't want you to think that I believe that it's all just that simple. That we just say, "Well, I've committed my ways to the Lord, and that's it. Jesus is going to take care of me. Presto, I've got it made. There's no issues. There's no challenges. Life is going to be smooth." You see, if I had just committed my 4x4, my racing, if I had just committed myself to racing 4x4s, but I didn't, and I was not diligent to do what was required to keep moving forward to winning the race, to the winning circle, I probably would have never won. The Jeep probably would have been broken more times than it would have been on the road. We must be diligent for the Lord. The writer of Proverbs contrasts being diligent with being lazy, as we read in Proverbs 12:24. "Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor." Diligence is important. We need to commit our ways to the Lord, but we need to be diligent in what we do. Paul exhorts to Timothy, "Be diligent in these matters. Give yourselves wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress." Paul is talking to Timothy, and I know he's talking to Timothy as a pastor, as a minister of the gospel, but the truth is, we're all ministers of the gospel. Just because I stand here on Sunday mornings and share a message with you does not make me any different than you. We are all ministers of the gospel. So what Paul is saying here to Timothy, and he's telling Timothy he needs to be diligent, he's saying the same thing to each one of us. We need to be diligent. And the things we need to be diligent about are found in a few verses earlier, in verse 12. And the last half we read, "But set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, in purity." Be diligent in these things. Be diligent in these things, in speech, in life, in love, in faith, in purity. Being diligent in being the best example possible. Being diligent in speech, the way we talk to others. It is speaking words of encouragement. It is speaking words that build others up. It is speaking words that exhort others to be better. It's speaking words that correct others in truth and in love. Being diligent in life means that others would see Jesus in all that we do while we live out our practical everyday life. We need to be diligent in that. Whether we are at the grocery store, whether we're on the golf course, whether we're at the gas station, whether we're at work, whether we're shoveling snow or cutting the lawn, depending on what season it is. Whether we're home, alone, or with family, or out in public, we need to be diligent in life. Do others see Jesus in us? We need to become less, and he needs to become more. Being diligent in faith is that others would see our faith, not just something that we talk about. Oh, yes, I go to church on Sunday, but something that we do. Something that we do go to church on Sundays, that we live out our faith throughout the week as well. Being diligent in purity is being pure in all we do. Being diligent means working at becoming the best we can become for Jesus, that others might see him through us. No, it's not easy. It's not something which we will ever be able to stop striving towards. It's not something that we arrive at and we go, oh, well, I'm diligent now. I've made it. I've accomplished it. We will need to continually be diligent for the Lord all the days of our lives throughout all of 2020. The writer of Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12 states, we want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to be lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. We will face many things in 2020. And we must be committed to the Lord and diligently walking with him to the very end throughout all our days. One other thing I would encourage us to do this year is to delight ourselves in the Lord. David encourages us in the last half of verse 4 in Psalm 37, delight yourselves in the Lord. To delight means to seek happiness and joy, extreme satisfaction. That's what David's saying. Delight yourself in the Lord. Seek enjoyment. Seek happiness in the Lord. Seek extreme satisfaction in the Lord. C.S. Spurgeon wrote, make Jehovah the joy and rejoicing of thy spirit. That is what David did. He talks about the struggles in the Psalms. Many times he talks about the struggles that he goes through and how the enemy is seemingly getting the upper hand. But he also sees many times where God delivers him and defeats his enemy. And in Psalm 35, verse 9, he says, then my soul will rejoice in the Lord and delight in his salvation. David finds extreme delight as he's able to walk in the victory, overcoming his enemies. What about us? Have we not been tormented with the enemy of sin and separation from the Father? But have we not also had the victory and be given the victory over sin and that separation? Should we not rejoice and delight in what Jesus has brought to us? The salvation from our sins, and he's made us right with the Father. Should we not delight in that? Should we not rejoice in that? Should we not have extreme satisfaction in that? I would say we should. The delight in the Lord, the joy in the Lord comes from being in his presence. Listen to the writer of Psalm 16, verse 11. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. as I get into the presence of the Father, he says he will fill us with joy. As we sit at his right hand, there will be eternal pleasures. Unfortunately, there are those who think it's irreverent to be filled with delight, with joy of the Lord. I mean, that's just over the top. We need to be solemn. We need to just deny ourselves that joy and pleasure which comes from the Lord. And there are folks out there that say that. Yet that's not what we read in the Bible. We read that David danced before the Lord. He reveled before the Lord. And the word reveled in the scripture means that he twirled around frantically, rejoicing before the Lord. We read that shouting and singing for joy are the normal in the Bible. We read that there's joy in the Holy Spirit. Sounds like a lot of delight in the Lord. You know, Christmas Eve, Kathy and I, we had such a great service here. And we went home and we watched A Christmas Carol, black and white. We didn't have the kids or the grandkids around to go, who watches black and white movies anymore? But we watched it. And you know what struck me the most was after Scrooge had been visited by the three spirits and he woke up that Christmas morning and he was so overjoyed that he hadn't slept through Christmas, that he hadn't missed Christmas, and that he had a second chance. Isn't that what we have, a second chance with Jesus? And I just watched Scrooge on that black and white, and he's got his legs. Like, I can't lift my legs so high. He was so excited, so filled with joy. And that's the picture I get that we should be like with God, with our Father, who set us free, who gave us a second chance. We need to delight ourselves. We need to be committed. We need to be diligent. But we need to enjoy the presence of the Lord as well. I guess it comes down to all that work and no play makes us not much fun. We need to be fun people. We need to be fun Christians. We need to experience the joy there is in Jesus. We must revel in it. May 2020 be a year of delighting in the Lord. 2020 is going to bring a whole lot of things in our lives. Some we can expect. Well, for the most part, we will have no idea what might take place in the days to come. How will we handle what comes our way? May we stay committed to one thing, and that one thing must be being committed to the Lord. In doing so, we are trusting in Him for the outcome of 2020 and of our lives. He has a plan for our lives. Nothing could be better than His plan for us. May we continue to be diligent for the Lord throughout 2020. Let us put all we have into moving forward for the kingdom of God. May we be diligent in fellowship. May we be diligent in joy. May we be diligent in prayer. May we be diligent in reading our Bibles. May we be diligent in coming to church. May we be diligent in the work of the Lord and sharing His love with others. As we go through 2020, committed to the Lord and diligent to follow Him, there is only one way we can do that. And that is by staying in His presence. And you know, as we stay in His presence, we will delight in the Lord. We will be filled with joy forevermore, no matter what we encounter. It's His presence. May we be committed to the Lord. May we be diligent for the Lord. May we delight in the Lord. And as we do, we will go through 2020 just the way Jesus planned. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that this day is your day and that 2019 was your year. But I thank you that your year doesn't end at 2019 because you're the God of all time. And 2020 is just another year for you to do amazing things in our lives. May we commit our lives to you. May you be the center. May you be the focus of all that we say, all that we do. May you be the core value in our lives that everything is filtered through. May we be diligent to pray and to read your word, to hear from you. May we be diligent to work for you, to reach out to our friends and to our neighbors, to the strangers, Lord. And may we delight in you. May we be just filled with joy overflowing that you have done so much in our lives, that you have taken us and changed us. Father, may 2020 be an exceptional year. May it be the best one we've ever had, as you are the center. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.